Hello, fam. Welcome to another day of Black History Month. I would like to read an insert concerning Reconstruction. And this insert is going to be coming by the book Crossing the Danger Water, 300 Years of African American Writing, edited and with an introduction by Deidre Mullane. And with this, it was copywritten in 1993. It's an anchor book published by Doubleday. Right? All right. So stay tuned as I read an insert from Reconstruction. Stay tuned. Reconstruction. Even before the Civil War ended with the surrender of General Lee's troops at Appomattox Courthouse, Northern politicians had begun to consider the terms under which the rebel states might rejoin the Union and what role freemen would play in the country's future. In March 1865, Congress passed legislation establishing the Freedmen's Bureau, organized under the War Department and headed by General O.O. Howard, and sought to provide assistance in securing food, clothing, land, education, and employment to newly freed slaves and others dislocated by war. The act, however, was intended to continue for only 1 year after the war, and when Vice President Andrew Johnson took office after Lincoln's assassination in late April, he quickly issued a series of proclamations establishing state governments that in effect restored the old Southern elites to power, while rigid new black codes, like that of South Carolina, included here, limited the economic and political rights of freemen, providing for apprenticeships that amounted to little more than indentured servitude, imposing restrictions on certain professions and regulating vagrancy and idleness, quote. And since the federal government returned much of the confiscated rebel lands to their former owners, many freedmen were forced to work as laborers or sharecroppers, leaving them largely in debt. That continued vigilance was necessary to secure freedmen's full participation in rebirth of American democracy, is made clear in Frederick Douglass's speech to the Anti-Slavery Association in Boston, which follows. Reconstruction Part 2. By December 1865, radical Republicans like Thaddeus Stevens and Charles Sumner, displeased with the course of Reconstruction in the South, called for a more aggressive federal policy. In 1866, Congress passed the nation's first Civil Rights Act, which sought to counter the Black Codes and secure full and equal benefit of all laws and proceedings for the security of person and property, as is enjoyed by white citizens, quote. Significantly, the law stipulated that in all questions of law arising in any case under the provisions of this act, a final appeal may be taken to the Supreme Court of the United States, establishing the role of federal courts in the protection of civil rights that will be used so effectively during the 1950s and 1960s. The following year, over Johnson's veto, Congress extended the power of the Freedmen's Bureau for 2 more years in the first piece of legislation ever to become law without the president's support. Congress continued its work with the Reconstruction Act of 1867, which divided the South into five military districts whose commanders were to protect rights, quote, rights of persons and property, to suppress insurrection, disorder, and violence, and to punish or cause to be punished all disturbers of the public peace, end quote. The bill also outlined the form of new state governments and legislated universal manhood suffrage. Partly because of Johnson's opposition to radical Reconstruction, impeachment hearings were begun against him, and in the fall of 1868, Republican Ulysses S. Grant was elected president. Reconstruction, Part 3. With newly established rights of citizenship, African Americans now constituted the majority of the Republican Party in much of the South, and during the next decade, 16 black legislators would serve in Congress, more than 600 in state legislatures, and many hundreds more in local governments. The most prominent congressional figures included John R. Lynch, who served as Speaker of the Mississippi Legislature before being elected to the U.S. House Representative, elected to the U.S. House. Representative Robert Smalls, who served the longest from 1875 to 1887. Hiram R. Revels, who served in the Senate, and Blatchett K. Bruce. Born a slave in Virginia, Bruce, born 1841, passed 1898, spent several years as a fugitive, and after the war established a black school in Hannibal, Missouri, and studied briefly at Oberlin College. In 1869, he moved to Mississippi and became a Republican organizer and held various local political positions before being elected to the Senate in 1874. Although initially rather moderate, as conditions worsened in the South, Bruce became more outspoken, and on March 31, 1876, he delivered the speech that follows in the Senate condemning the fraudulent congressional election in Mississippi in 1875. Reconstruction, Part 4. Whatever gains the freemen achieved did not go uncontested. Elected black representatives to state legislatures and Congress were denied their seats, and Henry McNeil Turner, who would later become a strong supporter of immigration, delivered his withering speech to the Georgia House on September 3, 1868, after he was refused admission. Violence was also used to intimidate African Americans. In May 1866, almost 50 black citizens, most of them Union veterans, were massacred in Memphis. I gotta read that again. Violence was also used to intimidate African Americans. In May 1866, almost 50 black citizens, most of them Union veterans, were massacred in Memphis. That same year, several Confederate veterans led by General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who had led Southern troops in the massacre of black soldiers at Fort Pillow during the war, joined together in Pulaski, Tennessee, to form the Ku Klux Klan. Similar groups sprang up elsewhere in the South, and while some states organized militias to oppose them, in other areas they held local officials in thrall. In April 1871, a congressional committee was appointed to investigate the complaints of KKK violence. As numerous individuals testified how they had been attacked in their homes, members of their families. Murdered, their land seized, and their right to vote challenged. One witness from Alabama reported that as he approached the ballot box, an observer told him that, quote, he had a coffin already made for him. He had a coffin already made for me because he thought I was going to vote the radical ticket, end quote. When asked the number of people he knew to have been beaten, he responded, quote, hundreds. I could not number them to you, end quote. Various state committees also presented their collective grievances to Congress. The petition from black citizens in Kentucky included here provides a detailed list of the activities of the Klan during the previous 4 years. Later that year, Congress passed the Ku Klux Klan Act, which made any attempt to prevent a citizen from enjoying, quote, the equal protection of the laws, end quote, a, quote, high crime, end quote, and any organized attempt to do so, quote, a rebellion against the government of the United States, end quote. To some extent, the legislation weakened the Klan movement, though it would reappear early in the 20th century. Overlaid with a romantic sense of the, quote, lost cause, end quote, exemplified in Thomas Dixon's novel, The Klansman, from 1905, and D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, from 1915. In its final Reconstruction Legislative Act, Congress passed a second Civil Rights Act in March 1875, which sought to prohibit racial discrimination and, quote, accommodations, advantages, facilities, and privileges of inns, public conveniences on land or water, theaters, and other places of public amusement, end quote. But while a remarkable amount of significant legislation was passed within a very few years, the gains of radical Reconstruction were not long-lasting. By 1875, the South had begun to suffer the effects of a severe depression in which the price of cotton dropped almost 50% in 4 years. Democrats regained control of the House of Representatives in the election of 1874. And during the presidential election of 1876, Republican president-elect Ruther Ford Hayes recognized several disputed Southern Democratic seats in Congress in return for validation of his election. By the time Reconstruction ended, with the withdrawal of federal troops in 1877, the Southern states had begun to nullify, in both the letter and the spirit, the hard-won political gains of African Americans. And in October 1883, the Supreme Court nullified the Civil Rights Act of 1875. The triumph of Jim Crow legislation in the epidemic of lynching that followed in the so-called nadir of African American history would lead to the great migrations of Southern blacks first to the West in 1879 and then to the cities in the North in the early part of the 20th century. Hello, fam. I hope you enjoyed today's reading of the Reconstruction. I hope and pray that you learned something new. I hope that something ignited in you to take action on where you are today and take action to do the right thing. As we know, we are in the year 2024. As I'm speaking, it's February of 2024. And as we know, we are approaching yet another serious, life-changing, generational-changing voting year. And I just want to continue to encourage you to make sure you're doing your reading, you're doing your research, you're praying, you know, you're praying to God, you're praying for wisdom, you're praying for understanding. And I also hope that you are also praying for strength to do the right thing and also to treat everyone you come in contact with a level of respect. And as we know, as we vote, we know that if you are an American citizen at the age of 18 years and older, you do have the right to vote. That is a right that you have. Okay, so just keep that in mind, and just keep in mind what we read, where there were lots of struggle. There were struggle mentally, there were struggle emotionally, there were struggle physically, there were struggle financially. And I, you know, even though in this reading of Reconstruction, it didn't say, but I'm for sure there was a struggle spiritually as well. And of course, all throughout this text, they mentioned a struggle legally. People lost their lives. Many people lost their lives. And as we give honor to Black History Month, there were many Blacks, African Americans that died because all they wanted was a better life for themselves. And, you know, I hope that you can take a moment and be thankful that you are here today in the society, that you have so many more resources and opportunities and open doors, and that things that we're allowed to do now, we, of course, there were lots of African Americans, Blacks that were into politics, which were great. But even without that side of politics, just knowing that there's so many more open doors that we even have for ourselves now that we did not have back during the Reconstruction era after the Civil War. And so I hope that, you know, you could take a moment, have a moment of silence, have a moment of prayer and also thanksgiving that you was able to make it this far, because there were your forefathers and your foremothers were able to fight and they were able to sacrifice their own lives and their family lives to see that we are here in 2024 and have the opportunities that we have today. This is why it is so important for us to read, to learn, research, educate ourselves when it comes to history, especially Black history, in honor of Black History Month. Thanks for listening. If you feel like this episode has brought you any value, feel free to subscribe. Feel free to be a member on here. Feel free to give back, and feel free to share this episode on your social media platforms. Share it on your Facebook, your Instagram, your LinkedIn, you know, wherever you can share them, your text messages, emails. But I just thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and I really do hope that you learned something new today. Feel free to stay tuned for our next episode. Our next episode will be on Freedmen's Bureau. So you all have a great day. Be safe. Treat people with respect and do the right thing. You all take care.